Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Thank you, Terry Mack, and thanks to all of you that listen and watch and engage with us. And I'm going to engage Jill Hubbard right here. Jill, how are you?
Hi, Steve. I'm good. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing all right, and Larry Sonnenberg's in the studio
yes.
with us here to start
yes,
off the
sir.
Program.
Hello.
Now, it's Thursday. When is the auction over, Larry?
The auction is over on Monday the 30th.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay.
So it's
not a lot
too
of time
late.
Left.
Not too late, and it's over Monday at midnight?
9 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay, well, that's midnight somewhere, I'm sure. But anyway, so we'll talk about the final stuff at the end, how to
sure.
take care of it. But there's some great things that are there. There are, literally, there are places you'd want to go and spend time, like in Tahoe or some places like that. And then you're supporting a ministry in doing it. There are sailboat rides and things that we've talked about. And you're supporting our ministry, and we're really excited about it. And if you haven't looked at all the different things that are there, I just want to encourage you to go to the newlife.com, click on the auction, and look at some things. And if there's anything you're interested in, please be willing to bid on it, because it isn't just that you would own it or experience it, you'd be helping New Life to help others. That's what it's all about. All right. Well, you know what? We've got one other thing, Larry. You can help us with this. Intimacy in marriage these workshops are coming up, and we know what can happen when people go to both of these. And we've got some early bird specials for people, like at Intimacy in Marriage. We've said it before, but it's $400 a couple, right, for early bird special?
Right. It for early bird, it is. And if you're Club New Life, you get an extra $100 off of that.
So you
That's
okay?
A
so here's the
savings.
Deal.
It's a reason to join.
Could, yeah, it
you
is
could
a
sign
reason.
Up. You okay? Here's look at this. If you were going to go to Intimacy and Marriage, if you signed up for Club New Life, that would cost you $30 a month, $360. But you would get that much off. You get more than that off on your discount to go to Intimacy and Marriage as a couple.
On top of what you get out of the workshop. Let's not forget mm-hmm. that. There's a value
yes,
there.
Yes, and value to joining
it's
Club
like
New
the
Life.
Old MasterCard commercial. Priceless.
Yeah.
And it, well, hey.
The experience
and who,
is, for sure.
Who has something that you I mean, I think the latest is now a 97% positive on the results from that. And, you know, some people come to make a good marriage better. Some, it's over. Many, it's over. And we don't take a week to do it. It's a weekend. We've been doing these intensives for so very long, and we used to do them for 5 days, and we saw that people got busy the last two or three. That's what we're doing now, is we put the last two or three right up front. So anyway, I think it's the most cost-effective. Dave Stoops says it all the time. He talks to therapists. They say this, it's about 6 months worth of progress.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, you know, sometimes you make progress, but you don't turn it around. And this is about a turnaround. So if
you make such a good point, Steve, that this workshop is for marriages in many different shapes. Some are crisis and already divorced, we've had. Mm-hmm. And we've had others that just annually they want to go something to tune up and make sure they're doing right.
That's
and
right.
everything in between.
Yep.
So
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find out about this or a counselor to help your marriage, a resource, a book, Bible to study together. We've got it. It's all at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And there are people sitting there right now. They've got a phone. Actually, got a headset. And they're waiting for you to call them at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're going to take a break, come right back, go to the phones. We love getting to be with you at New Life. Why in the world is this called New Life? Because literally everything can be new in your life. It's called transformation. We'll be back.
My wife asked me for the first time in 2011 if I would consider myself a sex addict, so I signed up. You know, I'd read the Every Man's Battle book, and it was a great book, but the workshop, it was the experience that really was key for me. If they go to EMB, they're going to be in good hands. You know, this is a safe place. They're going to be surrounded by men that simply walk the talk. The weekend leaders that they will go through this workshop with, they'll help them to get to the root of their issues. You know, I've been through a number of well-preached sermons, listened to and read countless books, been to a number of seminars, but EMB for me was a game changer. It truly saved my life. Being in this community, being in this workshop, being around these men will change them if they'll let them. You're going to encounter men that will meet you where you're at, and you will instantly walk into a safe place where they're welcome.
If you're struggling, call us. We don't want you to go on struggling. Just give us a call. It's 1-800-639-5433. It's 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here, talking about the auction. And, you know, it's actually not, just found out, it's not too late for somebody to, if you wanted to throw in something for the auction to be bid on, we might be able to even get it in. I don't know. Or you just give it to us, and then we give it to Goodwill. But, no, it's a great auction.
You weren't talking about your painting, were you?
Your drawing, I mean. Yes, I've given many to Goodwill. Half my life
is spent. No, yours is awesome. Goodwill. We're looking at it.
Hey, let's go to Glenn. He's been holding a while. Saginaw, Michigan, WSNL. That's W Saturday Night Live. Glenn, hi, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Good.
Do you really watch that, Steve?
I like that.
No, WSNL, hey, that's a great station up there. It's wonderful.
AM 600.
How can we help?
Yep.
How can we help?
Well, I appreciate you taking my call. I appreciate you taking my call. I'm a new Christian, about 7 years, and I work in the furniture industry in sales. And we have a lot of younger people in their 30s there and a lot of non-believers. And it's very, very tough to work with non-believers. And I guess I want to ask you if I handled something right the other day. I was talking to an atheist in the lunchroom, and real non-confrontational type guy. But he asked me, he said, prove that Jesus walked the face of the earth. I said, I cannot give you physically proof that he walked the earth. I said, but let me ask you something. He said, what's that? I said, everything has DNA, right? He said, well, yeah. I said, grasshoppers, rabbits, cows, whatever. I said, where did DNA come from? He goes, well, molecules, cells. I said, okay, where do molecules and cells come from? So I wasn't trying to stoop him, but he couldn't come up with an answer. And I guess my question is that the right approach to use to deflect the Big Bang Theory that most atheists have? Because my thing is, if somebody's a true atheist, why would they spend so much energy defending against something they say does not exist? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a good point.
Yeah, well, let me approach it this way first, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When he says, is there proof that Jesus walked the face of the earth? There is literally more proof that he walked the face of the earth than Julius Caesar existed. I mean, you have brilliant writers. You have brilliant writers, physicians, professionals, who wrote down what they saw. And based on the ages of those manuscripts and how close to the actual events, it would be really hard for anyone to make a case that Jesus was not a historical figure. That's kind of a foolish argument. I don't know of any atheist I've ever talked with, and I've talked with some pretty amazing atheists, and they weren't arguing whether or not Jesus walked the face of the earth. That's not the issue. But here's the issue. Mm-hmm. When Jesus did walk the face of the earth, he said that he was the only way to heaven, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the big issue. So if, and he said that he was God. Now, I would ask a person, maybe first of all, I would be just as interested in their faith as they might be in mine. I would say, how did you come to your belief? And I would want to listen to that, how they came about to that point. And, you know, for some people, they come about that way because their life is so good or they're so moral, they don't ever sense a need, you know, things like that. But a lot of times, when you listen, there was a disappointment, a death, a loss, something that God didn't fix. And so since God didn't fix it, then they turn against God. So I would just say this. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he actually stooped me. He asked me, he said, well, let me ask you this. If there's a God, why did he let nine-year-old girls, you know, get raped and get bad things done to them? Why did he let, you know, shootings happen?
Right.
And I approached that. I said, well, it's just because Adam and Eve, Jesus gave them the choice of, you know, the freedom of choice. Well, he wasn't buying that. He goes, I knew you were going to.
Well, here's what you would say. You would say this.
Yeah.
That, you know, we do have choice. And no matter whether you believe there was an Adam or an Eve, I believe this. If I was Adam or you were Adam and somebody, we would have all made the dumb choice. And as a result, people make choices that hurt us. We make choices that hurt other people. And, you know, God does say this, though, that he will wipe away every tear. He is there for us. And look, anybody that would expect God to, like, put a some kind of inflatable bumper on every car that would prevent every accident from happening, you're not really looking at the reality of the world outside of a perfect Garden of Eden. But then I would do this. Here's what I would do, and I have these. I would say, I'm gonna get a little book for you, and I'd love for you to read it. And I'd go get the book by Josh McDowell, More Than a Carpenter.
Okay, that's a good one.
Because that's a really short summary of why you can believe that God is real and Jesus is his son. And if he said
more
to you, that is...
Yeah.
And if he said, that's just kind of silly, or it's too below my pay grade or whatever, then Evidence That Demands a Verdict is the bigger book by Josh. And then this great book, The Case for Christ, is another great book.
Okay.
And I would just tell him, if you're really interested in the truth, read one of these. And then you say to him, now you give me a book and I'll read it also. I'll read that also for you. And you be willing to read that. I don't think you're going to, you know.
I like the idea, Glenn, of kind of naming what they believe as a faith, because it is. And how much faith does it take to believe what they believe, you know, and getting them to really articulate that, because you're right, they stand more a lot of times for being against something. And I would want to know, what are they really for? And what does that do for them? What does their faith do for them? Does it give them any hope? Does it make them feel better about their life? And, you know, the questions that he's asking are questions that lots of people ask. And it is hard to understand. For your learning, there's also, not to keep throwing books at you, but a book by Stan Jantz on why God allows suffering and evil. And kind of the premise is that because God is a loving God, he had to allow evil in. Because if he didn't, he would not be a loving God, right? If he made us, the idea of if he made us robots, he would not be a loving God. And so the fact that he loves us so much means he gave us that free will to allow. And that meant evil was allowed in.
I think one other thing is to concede this issue. You know, there are so many weird and mean and hateful Christians. It's no wonder that you might not just be naturally drawn to the faith. It's not because of Christ. It's because of people living out a caricature of Christ. Also, one more thing here, Glenn. I had a great conversation with one of the most famous atheists, Richard Dawkins, and of course, he doesn't believe in God. He believes that evolution formed everything. I just said to him, I said, okay, Richard, I'm going to throw out the classic question for all you evolutionist atheists, and that is this. What about that eyeball? I mean, where is there any evolution of an eyeball? I mean, I don't see, like, here's one that kind of sees a little bit. And he says to me, well, you know, there are some eye buds that were found in early salamander-type things. And I said, that's the best you can do, right? And I just smiled at him, and I said, you know, I think it's really a stretch to believe that an eyeball evolved. It's just so spectacular. It had to be created by a creator. And with that, we had a little chuckle because there's nothing he could say about that, because you don't see eyeballs evolving. And, you know, I do believe that within a species, there's an evolving, a changing, there's all sorts of stuff. But the chances that a cell divided and one day you end up with a dinosaur, no, that is just not going to happen. All right, let's go to our phones right here to Suzanne from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, WRGN. Suzanne, you're on. Dr. Jill Hubbard, Steve Arterburn here. How you doing?
Well, thanks, panel of wise people.
You're welcome.
30 years ago, I had a child, and I gave the baby up for adoption. And so about a month and a half ago, we found him on the internet because he had had a DNA test done.
Mm-hmm.
So I know who he is. I know it's him. So my question is, I've been doing a lot of research. What does it feel like to be an adult adoptee? And like all of that, and a lot of that, hours, many hours. So I understand that we all have implicit memories. And I just reread that today in How We Love, one of the books I have from you, wise people. So I'm very concerned about what kind of trauma he might have went through and how it affected his life. And most of the issues that come up are identity issues, self-esteem, ADHD, anxiety, depression, and then as an adult, like intimacy problems. So two questions.
Okay.
What do you think he might have went through, or any adoptee went through, and if, how, and when I should contact him?
Okay. Well, first of all,
so that's a lot.
Yeah. First of all, every experience is different, you know, mm-hmm. for every person that's adopted, and
right.
One of the things that I've talked about a lot in my older years is that no one thing fixes everything. And sometimes an adoptee might think, oh, I've just got to find my birth parents and, you know, everything's, and then they find them and it doesn't fix anything, you know. But I know this, when we adopted Madeline, I got to tell you, I always felt like if I ever had children that were biological children, it'd be hard to love them more than her. And that was true. You know, it didn't matter what, where the genes came from. That was my daughter from the beginning of time. And I have to tell you, I don't think she had any kind of trauma. Her mother found her, and of course we had kind of stayed in touch, and they spent some time together, and that was it. So when you read things, you're talking about percentages, and you can't assume anything. And, you know, in Alcoholics Anonymous and other recovery programs like Life Recovery, we talk about making amends and making it right unless it would cause more harm. And so you really have to ask, wonder if it would be helpful if you contacted this boy, or it might be disruptive or something of that nature. Those are things that need to be considered before you move forward too much. Now, if you found out that he was looking for his birth mom, well, mm-hmm. then that would be a different thing. But I'm trying to think. I'll get the name of the author who has written so much about what adopted kids are feeling, thinking, mm-hmm. the questions that they have, and I'll get that for you at the break and tell you about that. But Jill, what do you think?
I think there's a lot of things in life that we come into the world with, or things that happen that lay kind of dormant. And then, you know, in our environment, that either is kind of evoked or becomes an issue, or it doesn't. So it also depends on the environment and the people and the level of connectivity that your son felt with his adoptive parents. And some people just generally have more of a sense of, okay, I just felt like something was missing because I didn't quite feel like I fit here. Versus I've known adoptive kids that have had zero interest in really knowing their birth family because they felt that, like such a fit.
And here's another
that's
thing.
So it's but
like,
it's both.
It's like split in thirds. Like a third of them have no interest whatsoever.
Right.
Feel no need. About a third are almost desperate to find.
But
here, maybe.
But here's the reality: there are kids that were not adopted, and they have a bigger attachment problem than kids that were adopted.
It's all over the board.
So we just can't make broad assumptions. But we can always ask if we're connected to those folks. We'll be back right after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opioid addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and I just want to recommend, if I don't have one, but go on Amazon there and Suzanne, before you do anything, and get some of Sherry Eldridge's book. It's Eldridge. 20 things adoptive parents need to succeed. 20 things adopted kids wish their adoptive parents knew. Also, 20 life transforming choices for adoptees. Really, I don't know of anybody that's written more or better about the whole adoption situation than her. She's an amazing, amazing author, but get acquainted with her stuff, and I think she can answer a lot of the questions that you have. But I want to say this before we move on. Adoption is one of the most amazing gifts you can give to a child. Here I was the parent of Madeline because somebody decided they couldn't give Madeline the life that she needed. And I'm going to tell you, what a blessing she has been, and she writes this on her essay for college entrance. I was adopted at birth, but it seems like It was always meant to be. Now, that's the goal. And I believe it was. I think I was chosen to be her dad from the beginning of time. All right, let's go to Medina. Medina, Los Angeles, California, yes. KKLA. Hi, how are you?
Hi, fine. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can. What's going on?
So, my husband, about 3 weeks ago, revealed to me that he had been sexually assaulted when he was in college. The way that, to just backtrack, about a year ago, he started pushing away from me, and he actually told me point blank that he wasn't attracted to me. And right away, I was like, well, what is it? So, you know, am I too fat? Am I, you know, what is it? You know, of course, thinking it was me. And just did everything I could to take care of me, myself. But then about 3 weeks ago, I was in bed, and what I usually do is I would always put my hand on his shoulder and just pray over him quietly while I was in bed. And I touched him, and he flinched. And I said to him, I said, why did you flinch? And he said, it's been a while since you touched me. No, I pray over you every night. And then I just had an aha moment, and I just asked him, I said, were you ever sexually assaulted? And he said, yes, I was. And I just started crying. Oh, my gosh, this really makes sense of why you've been pushing me away.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So what's the question for us then? Yeah. That's...
So my question is now that the big secret's out, how do I encourage him to get the help so that we can regain the closeness that we had prior to a year ago? I mean, I've encouraged him, obviously, to go celebrate recovery or seek counseling, but both scenarios are he's not interested. And I said, you do realize that this has this scenario that has happened is affecting our marriage, and now we have no physical intimacy because you were triggered a year ago,
right?
And now,
and that's
I'm dying.
Yeah, that's what happens. I mean, we can kind of run from our secrets for sometimes a long while, but something happens where, you know, it just doesn't stay secret. We can't bury it. And people do get triggered, and it comes back up onto the scene. And you're exactly right, Medina, that now this is playing out in the marriage. And, you know, most men, react the way he does of not wanting to go get the help because it's shameful. And I think there's still that double standard for men where men feel more ashamed about being assaulted, whereas women are having more of a voice now about it. I would, you know, speak to that and say how much you can imagine that it feels embarrassing or shameful or something that he's afraid to really step into. But because it is affecting both of you now, and you miss him, you miss the closeness, and you don't want your closeness to bring up painful feelings for him. So could the two of you go together? Could you go with him and talk to a therapist about it so that, you know, it would be maybe a little more comfortable for him?
I am completely open for that, but I don't know if he's open.
But would he be willing to go with you because you can see how this is affecting the marriage now? And that, you know, it's like you have to kind of really try to connect with his heart and talk lovingly about it must be frightening for you to be having these feelings now. But instead of him trying to run from these feelings even more so, right, when they come up stronger, the tendency is to try to do something more to get rid of them or to suffer in silence, that you really know and that you've talked to people who know that he can be alleviated of his pain if he goes through it with you and with someone else who's trained to help him.
I think one of the big messages is, wait a second, we don't have to lose hope here.
Yeah.
You know?
This doesn't have to be your marital fate.
Right. So, you know, this is one of those great examples of a marriage intensive. Our marriage intensive could change everything for you. Let us talk to you about that. Maybe there's some scholarship. Maybe that would motivate him. But at some point, I think this phrase of, we've been through a lot. Don't you think the least you could do is come to one session with a counselor with me? Is that really too much? One session.
Everybody wants to be happy, but the problem is so many of us are stuck in the struggles of life and weighed down by our past hurts and mistakes. If you want to learn how to become a happier you, join us for this year's Life Recovery Conference.
Hi, Steve Arterburn here, and a lot of times I hear people say, you know, recovery just isn't for me, I'm not an addict. Well, actually, recovery is for everyone. If you're struggling in any area, you don't have to be an addict to do better when you surrender and take the steps to a happier life.
12 Steps to Happier with speakers Steve Arterburn, Dr. Dave Stoop, Chris Williams, Becky Brown, Jack West, and Amanda Anderson on Saturday, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine.
Come join me and our team of speakers for a day filled with wisdom and practical help.
12 Steps to Happier, October 5th at Mariners Church in Irvine. To register, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or visit liferecoverygroups.com. That's 1-800-639-5433 or liferecoverygroups.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Jill Hubbard, your phone calls. Really glad you're with us here today. And I just want to mention it is National Recovery Month. And, you know, Dave Stoop and I put together this Life Recovery Bible, 3 million copies, Life Recovery Groups everywhere. And if you want to start a Life Recovery Group, go to liferecoverygroups.com or you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for Reba. She helps folks with those kinds of groups. If you haven't gotten the second edition, it's the 3 millionth edition, 3 million out there. Second edition tells you how to start a meeting. There's stuff in there by my wife and how, you know, all sorts of meetings are good for you. But really, it's a great resource. Also, there's this magazine, Recovery Today Magazine, and I'm on the cover in July. And if you go to recoverytodaymagazine.com, there's all about what life recovery is. And this isn't a Christian magazine, but I'm telling you, we talked about Jesus in that magazine as the higher power. And as many of you know, the only other magazine I've ever been on the cover of was Mr. Vacant Lot. So it was an honor to be that. And but Recovery Today magazine. In fact, I'm hoping we can have the editor on. He is such a neat guy, and but it's National Recovery Month, which means if you're not recovering, force somebody else to. All right, let's go to, no, it doesn't mean that at all. Let's go to Tisha, Seattle, Washington. By the way, there's a whole, what, I think 3 nights in a condo in Seattle for somebody. I love Seattle. Tisha, hi there. You listen online. Hi. What's going on?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. And I wanted to mention before my question is, I met you on the flight from Dallas to Indianapolis this past August, and we had a really good conversation. And you told me about the show. And so I really appreciate you telling me about the show. Yeah, I know. Yeah, here I am. So I wanted to thank you for that. And then, Jill, I have also read yours and Leslie's book, Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers. And thank you for that as well. It's
sure.
been a huge encouragement in my life. So here's my question. After 1.5 years of living in a new healthy thinking, I moved away from my emotionally abusive family, clear across the state, literally, 2,000 miles away. And now I'm realizing that it may not have been the wisest decision, because I feel like I was running away from problems and away from not feeling like I belonged and watching my siblings and watching my family and all the dysfunction there. So I would like to know what I can do now to make my life healthier and not run away, even though it's painful, it's confusing, and I don't know what to do, but I didn't know what, but I didn't want to be around my family.
That's tough.
Yeah. So Tisha, sometimes we need to do different things during different seasons. And sometimes we do the best we can with what we know at any given time. And the good thing is we can always adjust as we are becoming healthier. There are times when getting some distance, like physically, can really help to gain clarity and perspective on a situation, because when we're too close to it, it's too easy to get sucked in. For some people, you can't run far enough away, right, to get away from a situation, whereas other people can live in the same town and feel very separate and have their boundaries and deal with things. So it's different for everyone. For you, okay, you made the decision to move, and that's perhaps what you thought you needed to do at the time. Now it may be time to say, okay, I feel like I've grown enough where I can have better boundaries if I'm in proximity. And so I don't know if you're thinking of moving back or just being able to go and visit and maybe test out implementing the boundaries that you've developed. How does that sound in terms of what you've been dealing with, since I don't know all the specifics?
Yeah. I've been thinking about that, but mm-hmm. I only moved in June of this year.
Oh, okay.
So I still
I see what you're saying.
Feel like it's too soon.
Okay.
Because I feel like I'm going to undo whatever it is that I did.
Okay.
So I'm still trying to explore my thoughts, explore my feelings, and my emotions.
Mm-hmm.
They're very different now. I do think I need to call my mom, because she had called me and I missed the call.
Okay.
But it's that feeling of being very scared and you don't feel protected when you're, on the phone or whatever. And you just, I feel very disjointed because I'm in a completely new place and I don't know very many people, which is what I was looking for.
Okay.
Because I don't need to air, I didn't want to share, this is my problem, with everyone I met.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tisha, let me jump in here. Tisha?
Mm-hmm.
So, rather than make another big, huge mm-hmm. decision about moving back,
mm-hmm.
I would say two things. Don't make a big decision until you find a great, healthy women's Bible study or, a little support group or something where you have some kind of healthy connection where you are. And then secondly, go home a couple of times, stay mm-hmm. with a friend or whatever, and visit before you would make the big jump to move back, because you might have made something that is such a bold move that it's so uncomfortable you think it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stay the course, it could make all the difference in the world. So I, rather than thinking I might have moved too quickly or jumped too far, mm-hmm. whatever, I would be thinking I just need to be willing make some good connections, use this pain or you know, just mm-hmm. this disjointedness to motivate me to connect. And I'm not going to make two big decisions mm-hmm. in a row. Just keep the one you have yeah. for right now and explore a little bit.
And Tisha, it really takes a good year to get any sense of belonging in a place. And so mm-hmm. there is, as Steve's talking about, there is going to be that, you know, you went from feeling disconnected at home to now feeling disconnected, right? But you haven't had any history with anybody here. And it, so it's time to plug in and start, you know, showing up regularly, you know, at a church, getting involved in groups, things like that, that can start to plug you in. And as people become familiar with you through that, what I always say, repeated exposure, you start to gain a sense of community. But it can feel awkward and a little lonely at first. But it's important to stay with it. And think about, okay, let's say you've moved there. Let's say you're going to take this year to just have some time away to work on yourself, to do some more healing, maybe to get in, you know, with a therapist, to be going to groups, and to see yourself away from and separate from your family while making those connections, making the phone call. And, you know, you may need to talk to a friend at home and say, okay, I'm going to call my mom. Can I call you afterwards? And kind of bookend it with someone and then kind of have an outline of what you want to talk about with your mom and keep it short and say, okay, mom, I'll talk to you again, right? But have a sense, some sense of control in the conversation.
One more thing, Tisha. I know Seattle, it has some amazing churches there. And if you'll just go on a little exploratory journey, you'll find a great church. I told you I'd send you some books when we met on the plane. I don't know if I sent you Take Your Life Back. Did I send that to you?
No, you didn't. That sounds like a good one.
I'm going to send that to you. Jen told me we did send you some books out, and I hope you got them. And if not, we'll be sure we get this address and get other books to you. But let me send two things. I'm going to send you Take Your Life Back, and I'm going to send Healing is a Choice. And I think both of those can really help you through this. So glad that I mentioned I happen to have a radio show that I'm on regularly and that you listen. That's so great.
I know. That's
appreciate
cool.
that. Well, you know, it can make a difference when you tell people about New Life, workshops that we do, the counselors we have, the program that we have. It's all about hope. You know, when you lose hope, man, hard to make a change if you don't have hope. You just kind of dig in, don't change because you don't have hope. There is always hope. We've seen it for 31 years. We've watched people transform in redemptive relationship based on God's true truth, and it can happen for you. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us help you. We'll come back for our final segment of New Life Live.
I came into this thinking that my husband was the cause of many of our issues.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Columbus, Ohio, October 25th to the 27th.
But after learning about our attachment styles, I understood how our past hurts were playing into our present problems.
Join Steve Arterburn.
It's been a dream of mine for a long time to help people to grow more intimately together, and we believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship, and then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or go to newlife.com.
Here at this workshop, we had our first ever conversation without yelling, blaming, and accusing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Got time for one more phone call here. Chad, Louisville, Kentucky, WFIA is the station. Chad, how can we help you today, buddy?
Hello. Getting to the question, I guess. Your thoughts on legal separation? Your thoughts on divorce, your thoughts on that hope that you talked about, never losing hope. I guess the generic answer of trusting God when you're dealing in a relationship, in a marriage relationship with someone who has free will.
Let's be specific, Tom. Chad. Is your wife divorcing you or separating from you? What's going on?
Yeah, she just filed for legal separation.
Okay, and what would she say to us is the reason for that?
Toxicity in our relationship.
Okay, is that true?
As far as a little bit of background. We've been married 16 years. Within the last 2 years, her childhood sexual abuse has come up, and she's been working through that. There's been porn use on my side from before we were married that she knew about, that we have worked through and talked through, but still remained to be there because of her lack of availability to me, partly.
Wait a second. Hold on. So, wait a second. Hold on there. Did you just say...
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. So that'd be good not to be communicating that anymore, because mm-hmm. there are a lot of people who don't use pornography, and for whatever reason the wife's not available. Now let me ask you this. What have you done to make it right with her on your side of the street? Have you gotten any help? Are you going to any meetings, doing anything like that, other than saying, if you'd been more available to me, I wouldn't have had this problem? Oh boy.
We've been to counseling together, and then within the last 3 months, I made an agreement with her that she was in control of that part of my life. Like, I handed it over to her, and I wasn't going to control that.
Okay.
And it wasn't up to me anymore. That decision wasn't up to me anymore.
Okay, I'm going to let Jill speak from a woman's standpoint, but I want to just make a recommendation to you. If you want to win your wife's heart back and get out of this divorce, here's your best chance. You go to Every Man's Battle, and you get everything inside of you taken care of that tries to justify using pornography. Then you come back and you start seeing a male counselor yourself that we help you find.
I currently am.
Okay.
Good.
All right. And then you be sure that you're going to a recovery group where you're open and honest all the time. And you start doing that kind of stuff where she, you know, you get papers one day and you're able to say, I got the papers today, but let me tell you about the meetings I've been to. Let me tell you what I'm learning with my counselor. Here's what I did when I went, took that risk and went to Every Man's Battle. These actions will get her attention. I will guarantee you something, and then I'll turn it over to Jill. She doesn't want to hear you say but when you do things stop talking, it gets a person's attention, even
yeah, your actions speak louder.
Jen, your thoughts.
Jill?
What are you thinking, Jill? Jill, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Excuse me. So, Chad, real quick, when you said you've given her control of what? I wasn't clear. One word.
As far as scripture.
Control.
My sexuality.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I don't know what words I can say on the radio, not say on the radio.
Okay, that's fine. So, you know, with her childhood issue coming up, it's always interesting. She's got childhood sexual abuse and you have sexual acting out, right? That tend to go together. But for her, as she's dealing with this, safety is a huge issue. So the more humble you can be, the better, right? You have to get rid of any sense of entitlement that you have, because Steve's right.
Yes.
People can live without sex, right? I mean, it's God-given desire. It's wonderful, but you're not going to die if you don't have it. And that's really important to realize. So as she's going through this period of time, it's important that you are very supportive and that you acknowledge that you have no idea. Like, you can't even imagine what it was like for her to have gone through what she went through and how scary it must be knowing that you have had your own sexual issues, because you become a perpetrator in her mind, right? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of her stuff gets projected onto you. And so it's not all you, but you have to be aware of that. And that can hopefully help you with some of the defensiveness. And you can even say to her, I bet at times I feel like your perpetrator. And, oh, that just breaks my heart that I would be in that position, and I want to do everything I can to not be a perpetrator. And so then Steve's list of all the things you are doing or going to do, these are the things I'm going to do. And sweetheart, whether we stay together or not, you have shown me that I need to take care of these things to be a better man so that you and no other woman would ever feel that way with me again.
It's really good, Jill. And, you know, when a woman says, I'm finished, I'm done, well, sometimes what, if you could complete that sentence, it would be this: given that you're not doing anything but talking to me, I don't have any choice but to just say we're done. Then you stop talking and you start doing things that she would be shocked that you would do. You'd humble yourself, quit quoting scripture, start working on character and stuff. Sometimes people that were done, they're not done anymore. If this is the kind of marriage that you are in, the Intimacy in Marriage Intensive is available to you October the 25th in Columbus, Ohio, and I would just encourage you to come. I'm going to send this guy a copy of Every Man's Marriage, and I know, Chad, it's going to help you here. And I hope and pray if you're struggling, you'll let us help you. Whether it's your marriage, it's your character, it's a problem with sexual integrity, codependency, you have to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Larry, you're still in the studio, and I just want you to ask people to support this ministry and ask them to go look at that great auction, because it is also a great way to support us.
Well, if you've been listening to this program, you've heard the calls, and you've heard the situations people are in. And you can sense that our heart, our desire, is to help these folks get their lives into a place where God would want them to be. And it's not always easy. It's not always without pain, but it's what it takes to get where they need to go. And for that reason, we want to keep doing what we're doing to help more people, and it takes money to do it. And we come to this mic and ask for money directly. We ask for Club New Life support. We'll give you a book, the Kirby McCook book, if you make a gift today. But we also have an auction. It's something new for us. It's one time this year. And I'd love for you to go to newlife.com, click on that banner for the auction, and take a look at all the items. We have some wonderful items, and there's so many it's hard to know which one to talk about. But we've got cruises. If you've never been on a cruise, we've got some cruises. You've been on that, you might get the bargain of a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And so many other things. But it's all aimed at good stuff.
So you could bid on an item on the auction and buy it. You could join Club New Life. That amount you could get off on our reduced from our marriage intensive, a one-time gift. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is
Thanks
where you
for
do
listening.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.